You're listening to 88.1 FM KPPP LP Fargo Moorhead, where we are adding local color to your airwaves. This is A Mexican Crossing Lines.
Yeah. There's a media blackout everywhere. 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 There's a no-fly zone over me community. Order. We're living in a state of censorship, yo. There's a media blackout everywhere. 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 Censorship of the news, suppressed coverage, mega corporation control what we read. Armies patrolling the community. Orders. We're living in a state of censorship. There's a media blackout everywhere. There's a media blackout everywhere.
Welcome to A Mexican Crossing Lines with Cindy Gomez-Shemp.
And Duke Gomez-Shemp.
You're listening to 88.1 FM KPPP LP Fargo Moorhead, where we are adding local color to your airwaves. We're also broadcasting online through Shoutcast. You can go and find us at kpppfm.com and listen live. And today we are going to be talking about the genocidal plans of North Dakota against its own indigenous people. The people that are at Standing Rock who are defending their land, their sacred sites, their burial grounds, and most importantly right now, their water. And the signs have been there very clearly for indigenous people. We can see exactly what is happening when we have Morton County Sheriff's Department signaling that people talking about their sacred chinupas, their pipes, he's saying they have pipe bombs.
Yeah.
That when people are saying that they are out there with their
tomahawks and fire irons and
they're trying to come up with these images of Indians. The most ridiculous of which today was that I heard that they found two more dead cows, and they're saying that one of them was shot with arrows. The telltale sign of death by Indian, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
All of this is orchestrated together with the media, and that's what we're going to talk about today, because this has been done in the past. Propaganda has been used. It was used by Hitler. It's been used by the United States in the past. The media has been controlled in its majority by white men, and that is exactly why KPPPLP exists, because we want to make sure to give a voice to those who are traditionally marginalized in media, people of color, working class people that are poor, queer people, disabled people. Those are the voices that are marginalized most in the media, and the voices of women. And so that's exactly what happens when you have this perfect storm of the consolidation of media by a handful of corporations. I think it's only six of them. And then on top of that, you throw the fact that these major news outlets like Fox News are owned by white men who have an agenda, who have a racist, corporatized media agenda. And today we're going to talk about what that translates to in our local media. We'll be talking to Joe Yerecha, who is a scientist and a teacher. He identifies as Purépecha and Rarámuri. He has Lakota children. He has worked with Lakota children as a teacher. And we'll be talking today about the comments and the discussions that he heard from Scott Henin on KFYR, speaking about Sacred Stone Camp. We will also talk about the role of media propaganda and corporations working on behalf of the state, media working together with corporations and the state against people like those at Standing Rock right now trying to defend their land and water. And also we will talk about the history of police abuse and power, especially the history and pattern of abuse that is being created right now, right here in North Dakota, and how all of this is simply a continuation of a genocide. But first, I would like for everyone to know that we would love to hear your ideas and comments. If you have something to share, give us a call and we will interview you like we did with Joe Yerecha. One more thing quickly, I just wanted to say, for those who want to follow along with some of the stories that we will be sharing today, you can check out the articles links that we will have along with this show.
Definitely. Yeah. Cindy was saying that you can get a hold of us. You know, we want to hear your voice. One way is to call our message line at 701-566-0917. It's a message line. You know, you can leave your name, where you're from. We may play it on the air. There's a way to get hold of us. Also, you can get hold of us at media_PPP. Email Cindy at kpppfm.com, Duke at kppfm.com. You can follow us on Facebook at 88.1 FM Fargo Moorhead, the People's Press Project, and Mexi-Can.
All right, so let's hear that interview with Joe Yerecha, and after that, we'll have a short musical break featuring Sempoali 20 and Keezy IMC. Today, with me in studio, I have a very special guest over the phone, Joe Yerecha, who's a Lakota scientist and teacher. He also identifies as Purépecha and Rarámuri. He has an MS in pharmaceuticals. Joe makes his home in South Dakota, where his wife and kids are enrolled Lakota members. He graduated from Loyola University of Chicago with a BS in psychology and a minor in biology. He has been a biomedical technician for 16 years, and he's also doing neuroendocrinology, drug abuse, cardiovascular endocrinology, kidney transplants, and immunology work. Joseph has been a high school science teacher in the Lakota Sioux communities for several years, and most recently he has spent several years studying pharmaceuticals, genomics, public health, and bioethics of research in Native communities. Thank you for coming on the show, Joe. Is there anything I missed in your bio there?
No, but thank you for having me. And I'm not Lakota. I've worked in a Lakota community.
That's right. Your kids are Lakota.
Yes, my kids are Lakota.
Okay. I apologize. Thank you for the clarification. Joe, I invited you on the show today to talk specifically about some of the things happening at Standing Rock. And specifically, we're talking today about the ongoing plans in North Dakota, whether it's by the media or the Morton County Sheriff's Department, the ongoing plans by the government in terms of the Sacred Stone Camp, in terms of the indigenous people that are there defending their land and water rights. And you were listening to a radio show on KFYR with Scott Henin. I saw you posting about it, which is why I called you, because I wanted you to relay for our audiences what that conversation was about, what it was that you heard. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Okay, well, a little bit of background. I just started listening to that show probably the beginning of this year. I have a 90-minute drive to and from work, and so I listen to the AM stations because usually they don't have any missed or gaps in reception on my radio, and I started listening to that show. And it was just interesting to me to listen to the opposing viewpoint, and I found Mr. Henin throughout the year to constantly call himself a non-racist and be very careful to admonish the callers on his show also not to be racist. But to me, it's just a long history of subterfuge where he just couches his language such that it does not sound racist. And they pretty much did not pay attention to the Dakota Access Pipeline fight until probably the middle of the year, or even August, And before that, you know, they've had people out there since January, long before the popularity and the increase in the size of the camp. And he didn't start talking about it until it became, you know, popular on social media sites. And they've been probably one of the biggest voices out there towards making it a very anti-Native kind of fight. And again, like I said, he often says he's not racist, and he will say things like, I know many people from the Standing Rock community, and I know that many people from the Standing Rock community are for the pipeline, or I know many people are against the protest, mm-hmm. those kinds of things, but I doubt that he knows anybody on Standing Rock.
Well, did you know that he was recently down there?
Yeah. So he says that he's been down there in, I think, according to his show, he's just recently start coming down. Most of his reports have been second or third hand, and he's begun taking pictures. And so today, one of the things he says is that he began to take pictures of license plates, and he started taking pictures of children and documenting what he considers unsafe environment for children. Mm-hmm. So he's been constantly demonizing the whole camp and the whole pipeline protest, saying that these are mostly outside agitators and that hardly anybody at the camp is actually from Standing Rock or from any of the member tribes of South Dakota and North Dakota. But again, he's using somewhat couch language. Like he said, he can never prove or provide evidence that people are from Black Lives Matter or people are from Earth Justice or anything like that. He can't provide proof, so he'll say things like, most of the license plates are from out of state. Well, of course they're from out of state because they're mostly from South Dakota, the other member tribes of South Dakota that are also call themselves Sioux. And so it's a lot of this rhetoric trying to make his listeners feel that they're under siege from outside sources.
I've heard that word tossed around. You said that he had Hovind, governor, or former Governor Hovind, now Congressman Hovind, on the show?
Yes, he had him on today. He had the Bismarck police chief and somebody who's running for state legislature. I can't remember his name. He had those three people on, and they all had something to say about the state of the camp and the nature of the crimes that are going on. Mostly they keep citing that the ranchers, non-Native ranchers, their houses are either being watched or recorded or broken into and their livestock killed. Today he said that there was a cow, one killed with a rifle and one killed with an arrow.
Oh, I guess that the arrow is the telltale sign of Indians did it, right? I'm sorry that I'm laughing about this because it's not funny. What they're trying to do is really, this is a genocidal plan. The media has had a hand in the past in savagizing indigenous people in such a way as to, you know, gin up the rage and the fear of the quote unquote savages so that forces, whether they be army, you know, are they National Guard or the FBI or what have you, to go in and clear people out. And I think that that's part of the sinister plan of the conservative media within our state. But I wanted to ask you more about what he said specifically with regards to children being in danger. And you said that Senator Hovind said that kids were in danger. What exactly were they saying that kids were in danger from?
Well, again, I'd like to reaffirm that a lot of this, like you just said, is ginning up the fear and ginning up a problem that doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. And, of course, I'm always reluctant to post anything that he says because I know they're just trying to get ratings. You know, the more outlandish it sounds, the more likely people are going to tune in. So from the beginning of the show to the end of the show, before every commercial break, he'll say, we're going to talk about this or we're going to talk about that. And then he never talks about it because he's just trying to get people to stay tuned. And one of the things he kept saying when he was talking to all of his guests today is that the children are in danger. And he just kept trying to drag that out as long as possible. And each guest said a little bit about it. But it wasn't until that he interviewed Mr. Hoven that they really got into what they thought were their concerns. But again, since they're ginning it up, they don't ever come up with actual evidence or actual examples of what they think is happening or makes it dangerous for the kids. And so they just said, well, it must be dangerous for the kids. Number one, because there's drugs out there. Number two, because there's violence out there. Number three, because there's all these out-of-state people out there who may or may not have arrest warrants and they're hiding out on the reservation. So they're just all suppositions of why it might be dangerous. And so they just gin it up. But the only thing that they came up with any real substance is that there's no school out there. And that's illegal.
Yes.
And that's illegal. So Mr. Hoven was saying that he wrote a letter to the governor, to Mr. Archambault, the chairman of the Standing Rock Sioux, and to the Army Corps of Engineers, recommending that those children be at least moved to Cannonball where they can go to school, or they would be welcome at the Mandan schools so that they're not missing school. Mm-hmm. And like I said, all the other kind of stuff that they were talking about was just fluff. Mm-hmm. And the only thing they really could attach themselves to was that they're missing school.
But they know that there's a school at the camp because Scott Henin went and photographed children from the school, didn't he?
Yes, yeah. So there is one there, and in previous reports from his show and elsewhere, the state is claiming they're not going to recognize any kind of certification for those teachers or that school because it doesn't fit with the state guidelines for what a school should be.
What is so frightening about Indigenous people teaching their own children? What is so scary about that?
Exactly. I've been a teacher, and I would argue that even though the schools that are accredited meet the standards of the state, that kids aren't really learning anything there. And that probably, in, at least in my opinion, they're getting a better education out there than they would at a regular school because they're more engaged. They're socially engaged. They're engaged with adults. They're engaged in all kinds of ways that are more meaningful than they would be at a regular 8 to 3 o'clock school curriculum.
Exactly. And isn't this historical genocide? I mean, the snatching up and taking of our children and putting them in schools that are either run by the church or boarding schools, this has been a historical trauma that I don't know if Scott Henin is doing it to sound like a genocidal maniac or if he's just doing it because he's so ignorant of the history of his own clancestors that he doesn't know that this is how they roll, that this is what they've done to our people. They've taken our children away from us, and then they've filled their minds with, you know, whatever they want to teach them about white people's authority.
Well, I think, again, it's just a ratcheting up of anything that either might make the non-Native neighbors react with violence or protest, or get the protesters or water protectors to either leave voluntarily because they're afraid that their children are going to get taken, or react violently because they think their children are going to get taken. In either case, like you going back to your original point, this is all ginned up. It's a very safe camp. Every time I've been out there, it's a very harmonious camp. It's a very beautiful camp with lots of different people. You know, it started out with mostly Indigenous people from the United States, but then people start coming from Mexico, from Puerto Rico, from Canada, from Australia, non-Native people, you know, that are, you know, quote-unquote American citizens, and Black Lives Matter. So there's a lot of different people out there, and every time I've been out there, there hasn't been any drinking, there hasn't been any drugs, there hasn't been any violence, and there hasn't been any kind of friction at all. It's just a very wonderful space when you go out there. So again, these claims that the kids are in danger, I think, is just either to evoke a response from one of the sides, or like you're suggesting, is to actually come in there and start removing kids to get either the tribe or the protesters to back down.
Mm-hmm. One of the other things that I noticed in the post that you made were, this is the part that really disturbed me, because Senator Hoeven was sitting there along for the show and was listening to these calls. And one of the callers brought up Joe Arpaio, who is currently facing criminal contempt charges for his continued profiling and the violation of civil rights of indigenous Mexican people in his state in Arizona. And the caller said that they should have Arpaio come up to North Dakota and start a citizen's prairie jail. And they also mentioned that they've got a bunch of kids out here hunting. We can come help them with that. I mean, making literal threats on the lives of the people at the camp. And Scott Hennin responded by saying, interesting idea. Interesting idea. And Hoeven, according to your post, said nothing to condemn this racist rhetoric on his program. Is that correct?
Exactly. And so, you know, to me, Mr. Hennin is a Rush Limbaugh wannabe. You know, he's aspiring to something that's not even aspirable. And he's aspiring to that. And he, in all of the shows that I've seen, or I'm sorry, listened to, he's always trying to get his guests to go over the top and say something outrageous, and they never do. And I want to give credit to the Morton County Sheriff and the Bismarck Police Chief and most of the legislators he's had on there. Usually they'll say, that's not true, Scott. You know, they'll tell him whatever outrageous thing he says, he'll say, that's not true, and they'll correct him. And they'll usually take a politically correct stance, if not the opposite stance. Mm-hmm. And in this case, like you said, it was very disturbing that Mr. Hoeven didn't correct the caller and didn't correct Mr. Hennin on any of that. So that was very disturbing. So the caller called in and made the suggestion that you said, but he also added that he had some teen hunters out there, pheasant hunting, and they already were equipped with guns and they'd go out and help.
Yeah, that's, I mean, that compounded with all of the talk about the cattle that are missing and all of this discussion of pipe bombs by Morton County Sheriff and, you know, all of these figments of their imagination that have been repeated in the media, I feel serve to create an environment that makes it very dangerous for the people that are there. When the they referred to, you said Hoeven referred to, or correct me if I'm wrong, I think you said that Hoeven said that this was a siege now, that it had taken 69 days or longer, and that this was no longer just a peaceful protest, that it was a siege. Is that correct?
No, Mr. Hennin was the one that said that it was a siege, and he kept repeating, like, I guess starting maybe a week ago, he started doing the countdown by saying how many days it's been out there. And he said, today's day 69, and it's a siege. And then Mr. Hoeven agreed. He's like, yeah, this has been going on far too long. We have to get control of this situation. And if the federal government's not going to get control, then we as the state of North Dakota have to get control.
And I wonder if either one of these gentlemen know what the word siege means. Because that is exactly what the water defenders and land defenders that are at Cannonball are facing, a siege. A surrounding of military-style action that is cutting them off from access to the roads, to the media, to their sacred sites, to their burial grounds. It seems as if they're either in an alternate universe or they simply don't understand the history and the language that they are using. One last thing I wanted to mention to you, and I'll let you comment about this. I went on his Facebook page after I saw your comments, and he talked about his show with Senator Hoeven, and there was a lot of comments underneath, one of them by a gentleman named Jamie Breck, whose profile picture, ironically, is of a man holding two rifles or, you know, AK-47, some kind of semi-automatic weapons in the air, and his avatar is a man who has his face completely covered with what looks like a mummy kind of a wrap. He said that, "I listened to Law Enforcement and Hoven on your show today. Thumbs down. After hearing their PC spineless answers, I believe nothing will be done to remove these domestic terrorists until someone gets shot, stabbed, or has the living beep beat out of them." Your comments?
Yeah, it's that's what was disturbing about today's show. As I said, most of the professional guests he's had on have corrected his outlandish rhetoric, and now since they're either not commenting on it or agreeing with him, that's what makes it scary. And as you know, throughout the country with the various Trump supporters, this anti people of color rhetoric is becoming so frenzied that people are taking action. You know, we just had in Reno a Columbus Day protest where five people were run over with a truck.
Mm-hmm.
Luckily, nobody died, but these kinds of actions are happening more and more frequently because of not only Trump, but I would say all over the world, there's this neoliberal type of anti-immigrant, all capitalists or nothing kind of feeling going on. These kind of Tea Party movements. They're in Australia, they're in Eastern Europe, they were evidenced in the Brexit movement in Great Britain just recently.
Mm-hmm.
They were happening in Canada under the Harper administration, and now they're happening here. And because of this, like you said, this historical trauma of taking American Indian children away from their homelands and their parents, that this should be a call to alarm, not only for the tribes, but for the whole country,
mm-hmm.
because these things are not just rhetoric anymore. The people are starting to take action.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much for your important commentary today about what is happening in our media and the effects of that on the people at Standing Rock. I really appreciate you being on our show, Joe.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Immersed in natural frequencies, in the galactic prophecies.
Welcome back to A Mexican Crossing Lines. If you are just joining us, you're listening to 88.1 FM KPPPLP Fargo Moorhead, where we're adding local color to your airwaves. And I am in studio with Duke Gomez-Shemp, my faithful engineer and husband and partner.
Hello, hello.
So we're going to talk a little bit more about these genocidal plans of North Dakota. And it may seem shocking to you to hear me say that, but that is exactly, from an indigenous perspective, what the media, what the Morton County sheriffs, what the authorities of the state, including the governor and Senator Hoeven, and the any other authorities that have attacked the Sacred Stone Camp in the present day without any foundation. Let me make that clear. Mm-hmm. None of these accusations of pipe bombs or of children endangerment or of any kind of crimes or any kind of violence or any kind of cattle rustling or horse stealing or arrow shooting, all of that is in the very vivid imagination of our governor, lieutenant governor, Morton County Sheriff, and our media.
That's right. You know, and then they're making it up. There's no evidence. There's no photos. There's no videos. And this has been something that's been live on Facebook every day. Sacred Stone Camp, the actions, all the people have been posting, filming, and reporting every day of what's going on. So that they would come up with these bizarre lies and try to sell them to the public is just totally amazing. But it's working because a lot of people are really, really ignorant. So if you believe those things, I'm calling you ignorant.
Well, and it's important that people open their minds and just think about some of these things a little bit more clearly, because obviously if they have 24-hour surveillance at the camp with low-flying airplanes and helicopters that are there all the time, monitoring the every move of all of the people that are there. They've got the National Guard. They've got sheriffs from four different states and I don't know how many different counties. They have militarized vehicles, semi-automatic weapons, gas, tear gas, all of this. And you're going to tell me that somebody can steal 30 cows and nobody notices it?
Yeah, really.
And kills a horse or shoots arrows at cows, and there isn't a single picture. There isn't a. You've got sheriffs claiming that somebody threatened to scalp them, and that people are threatening police officers. But the most that they can come up with is to say that these folks are rioters when they're charging them. If they have evidence of any of these things that they claim, why aren't they charging these people with assaulting officers? Exactly. Why aren't they charged? The only quote unquote assault on an officer that they've come up with so far is the accusation, which video evidence contradicts. If you look at the evidence, there is no such thing happening in that video. But, you know, go out there and look for yourself. The police claim that one water defender who was out protecting the people that went to pray charged the police with a horse. And as I said, there's absolutely no evidence of that. The video evidence actually contradicts what the police are saying. But that's the only one that they've been able to say assaulted an officer. Mm-hmm. So for them to continue to repeat these lies, for them to continue to say that there are frauds, that there are, you know, that there are crimes being committed, that there's violence, that there is danger when there's evidence of zero of that and has never been evidence of any of that for all of these months is ridiculous. And it is also dangerous. Mm-hmm. It is a form of terrorism and ongoing genocide to erase the people that are fighting for their land and water. And the media is complicit in that. If the media is not doing their job and actually figuring out what's going on, then that is part of the problem. And I have to tell you, after doing this interview with Joe, maybe the reason why Scott Hennen doesn't have a more open mind about indigenous people or black people is because he doesn't know any, because hates them, because he's a racist. Mm-hmm. And it would be very difficult for him to have a relationship with people that he openly fears and hates on his programs all the time.
Yeah.
And maybe that is the problem of the mostly white faced mainstream for-profit media, not just in our state, but throughout the country. So there has been a pattern and a practice of painting people of color, especially indigenous people, in the worst light. They are the victims of the highest amount of deaths at the hands of police. And here in the state, they are also profiled. The report that we heard yesterday, I hope folks listened to it. If you missed it, go on kpppfm.com and find it, because you need to see it.
Definitely.
And listen for yourself to the lawyers that have been talking about what violations of civil rights and freedom of speech and freedom of the press have been committed here in the state. And so we need to call these media stations out, these commentators out. We need to hold these lawmakers, these governors, and these members of Congress accountable for their actions and for their words. Now, did Hovind endorse Trump?
I have no idea. I can't comment on that because I don't know.
I bet he did, because, it would seem to me that anyone that could sit on a radio show and hear somebody threaten to murder in Native American kids, Native American families, and Scott Hennen say, that sounds like an interesting idea.
Yeah. Wow.
Sounds very much like something that would happen at a Trump rally and that his supporters would all rally behind. And I was not sure. Maybe, you know, Hovind is such a Trumpublican. I don't know if that's the case.
Well, he was silent on it, so a lot of times we say silence is compliance, you know.
Silence equals violence. And that's, of course, exactly what they're trying to do, is to create violence against indigenous people, peaceful and prayerful land and water defenders. And the Morton County Sheriff's Department has got itself into hot water, especially with Amy Goodman of Democracy Now, whom they tried to charge with rioting. And in addition to failing to charge her on the trespassing, they dropped those charges because Ladd Erickson couldn't prove what he had said he was going to charge her with. So he came up with some other trumped up charges of rioting, which were then dropped by the judge, which means that the judge would not sign off on prosecuting her. And I think that that was a really smart move on the behalf of the state, because the last thing that North Dakota really wants to do is to bring more media attention here. And if they had arrested her and charged her and set a trial date, they would have rained hell on top of North Dakota from the media of the world and of the country.
Mm-hmm. And she actually headed back right away. She's back at her home studio, or her studio where she works out of, and she's doing continual reporting on all the interviews
they
she
couldn't
had.
Have. They couldn't have prayed for something better.
Yeah.
Get her out of the state. Get her out of here. We don't want her here.
And something I believe we heard today is that the Morton County prosecutors are wanting her stock, her footage, all of her footage.
We'll talk about that too.
Oh yeah.
But I wanted to get back to some of the reporting that she's recently done. I urge you all to go to Democracy Now online and find her most recent report from October 18th from Standing Rock, which includes a great coverage of the releases, the charges that were dropped against many of the land defenders and water protectors that were all fake, phony charges in the first place, including charges against Marcus Freijo and his cousin or brother, I believe,
brother
Morgan Freijo, a.k.a. Keezy IMC, who we'll be hearing some music from on this show, as well as a number of other people, including the Red Warrior Camp's spokesperson, Cody Hall.
Oh, yeah.
There was no reason for them to have taken these folks in the first place. But what they did was to take the opportunity to snatch people up, to kidnap them for no good reason, to humiliate them, to violate their civil rights, and in a way to threaten them. If you don't want to be strip searched, if you don't want to be mistreated, if you don't want to be terrorized, you better get out of Dodge. You better hide. You better get back on the res and stay on the res and keep your face down and shuffle your feet and say yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. But you know what? That isn't going to happen. No more can be done to Indigenous people than what has already been done to us.
Yeah.
We are not going to back down, and we are not going to bow our heads. I want you to listen to some excerpts from Amy Goodman's show that I shared that you guys should all go look at and listen for yourself. It includes interviews with Chairman Dave Archambault, and also Sarah Jumping Eagle, who is Dr. Sarah Jumping Eagle, the wife of a member of the candidates for Congress, Chase Iron Eyes, who's been on our show several times, as well as with Cody Hall, the spokesperson of the Red Warrior Camp. All of them talking about how they were treated for misdemeanor charges, okay? Think about how many people have been charged with misdemeanor charges, taken to a jail and strip searched in your community. This is exactly what's happening to the folks at Standing Rock. Let's listen.
Yes, we're continuing our coverage of the resistance to the Dakota Access Pipeline and the ongoing crackdown against water and land protectors by the Morton County Sheriff's Department. One of the things that comes to light in recent weeks is the widespread use of strip search in the Morton County Jail. On Monday, Democracy Now! Broadcast live from just across the street from the Morton County Courthouse and Jail, where I asked Standing Rock Sioux Tribal Chair Dave Archambault whether he, the chair of his tribe, had been strip searched after he was arrested at a protest.
What were you charged with?
Disorderly conduct.
So it's a misdemeanor, low-level misdemeanor.
Yes.
Were you strip searched?
Yes.
Is this common, that for disorderly conduct you're strip searched?
I wouldn't know because that was the first time I ever got arrested. But you know, when I was, I thought it was humorous because I had to take all my clothes off, and then they wanted to check my braid for, and I don't have a very thick braid for any weapons to hide, but so I thought it was pretty crazy and unnecessary to do a strip search and to check my hair, but I accept it. That's how it was.
That's Standing Rock Sioux Tribal Chair Dave Archambault. Another member of the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe, Dr. Sarah Jumping Eagle, a pediatrician who works on the reservation, also says she was strip searched after she was arrested in August, taken to the Morton County Jail, and charged with disorderly conduct.
When I was taken to the jail, first I was taken by a corrections officer, transported from the protest site to the Morton County Jail. And then when they took me in there, you know, they had to take some basic information. And then one of the things that they do is have you go into a small room, and there was a female officer there, and we had to take my clothes off, and then
cavity search?
No, not a cavity search, but I had to squat and cough. That's what she said. I had to squat and cough and then put the orange suit on.
So you were put in an orange jumpsuit?
Yeah, I was put in an orange jumpsuit, and then I was held there for several hours. And initially, you know, my family didn't know where I was or didn't, you know, they heard about it pretty quickly and were able to come and bond me out or bail me out. I don't know what you call it. But I was in there for several hours.
How did it make you feel?
It made me feel, you know, it made me think about, you know, my ancestors and what had they gone through. And this was in no way a comparison to what we've survived before. So it just made me feel more determined about what I'm doing and why I'm here.
That's Dr. Sarah Jumping Eagle, pediatrician and member of the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe. Well, on Sunday, while we were on the reservation, we spoke more with Dr. Sarah Jumping Eagle about why she, as a pediatrician, opposes the $3.8 billion Dakota Access Pipeline. We end today's show with Cody Hall of the Cheyenne River Sioux Tribe. He had two arrest warrants. He had an arrest warrant issued for two misdemeanors of criminal trespass for land defense actions. On Monday, he learned the charges were dropped. I spoke to Cody over the weekend about his arrest.
In the manner of which I was arrested, it was treated like I was the native Osama, with at least 18 state officers that got out of their, you know, their squad cars when I was arrested on a highway 1806 going up to Bismarck.
So then you were taken to the Morton County Jail in Mandan?
Yeah, yep. I was taken there, and I was met with state, you know, police officers dressed in their, you know, in their gear, and then also just really, you know, villainized, you know, just like I said, just you know, FBI wanted to question me. I invoked my right, you know, silence.
Have you been targeted since your arrest?
Yes, I have been targeted. As I look at, you know, side mirrors and rearview mirrors, you know, I have Dapple security in their, you know, the rented trucks that they drive around with no license plate on them. And so I like to kind of play a game, and I'll just drive around a little bit just to see if that, you know, vehicle is, you know, tailing me. And sure enough, I get a lot of, you know, vehicles tail me in the city.
We also spoke with Cody Hall about his experience inside the Morton County Jail, including how he was strip searched.
As I exited out of the vehicles and entered Morton County, I came up an elevator, and as the elevator opened up, I was met with state police. And then, you know, of course, Morton County people are there to book people. But and then from there started the process of the booking. And then again, you know, went into to a private room where they asked you to, you know, get naked. You know, they had my arms, they you know, kind of like a extend your arms out. And you're fully naked, and they have you, you know, lift up your genitals and, you know, bend over, you know, cough. And so it's really one of those tactics that they tried to break down your mentalness of, of everyday life, because not every day do you wake up and say, hey, I'm going to get, you know, naked and have somebody search me today, you know. That's a private, you know, that's a private feeling for you, you know, when you get naked, so.
And 4 days later, when you were finally released, they hadn't allowed you to go out on bail or bond for those 4 days. You came before a judge in the orange jumpsuit?
Yes, yes, I sat in the court office in my orange jumpsuit, locked, you know, still, you know, handcuffed, exited out of the courtroom, and as I left the courtroom, there were 20 or so state police, all in their bulletproof vest, everything, just looking, you know, like they're going into action of some sort. And then they literally had a line from the courtroom to the door that connects you to the county jail. And my mother walked out with me. And as we got to the door, they were opening the door up, and as I looked behind me, my mother and I, all of the cops then proceeded to kind of...
That was swarm. Water Protector Cody Hall, the Cheyenne River Sioux Tribe. The charges were dropped against him.
And of course, you know, I want to make very clear that the charges were dropped against Amy Goodman, against Kesey IMC, a.k.a. Marcus Freijo, against his brother, Morgan Freijo. Myron Dewey of Digital Smoke Signals was also, he turned himself in, and he was released. Mm-hmm. I do not know the status of his charges, but we will continue to follow the violations of civil rights and human rights by the Morton County Sheriff's Department, by the state authorities against Indigenous people here at KPPPLP. And you should also know no good deed goes unpunished. Now Amy Goodman may be facing new charges, as you said before, Duke.
Oh, that's right, yes.
According to Trevor Tim of Freedom of the Press Foundation, and we will have an article along with this show for the folks out there listening, he said, quote, then prosecutors admitted that there were legal issues with proving the notice of trespassing requirements in the states, i.e. they knew they couldn't prove their case, so they dropped the trespassing allegations and instead charged her with participating in a riot, which was dismissed on Monday. So even though they've been stymied twice by the law, they're now thinking of returning for round three. It's clear that the prosecutors have predetermined that Goodman should be in jail and now just have to figure out a way how. Statutes and First Amendment be damned.
Yeah.
they go on to say in the article, these prosecutors should be sanctioned or fired for misconduct, and the Justice Department should consider investigating Morton County State's Attorney's Office if they continue their investigation. In the meantime, the North Dakota Attorney General's office should order its prosecutors to immediately cease trying to invent new ways to lengthen their stifling of free speech and chill the freedom of the press. It is dangerous to every journalist in the country.
Mm-hmm.
I agree.
Yeah.
And moving on, I want to talk about the police repression, the aggression of the police, because we have people out there that are reporting being, you know, snatched off the street for nothing more than existing. They're being monitored at all times. They have creepy predators like Scott Hennin, mm-hmm, coming onto the Sacred Stone camp and photographing children and women from their cars. And then you have the media rehashing the fantasies and the sick, genocidal, twisted fantasies of law enforcement and government officials, many of whom personally have investments in the oil field, yeah, and in the oil that they want to be carried out through those pipelines. And what that is a continued of genocide. That's exactly what's been happening. Indigenous people recognize it because we know what that stems from. It wasn't just the smallpox blankets. Mm-hmm. It was the taking of children from their families and forcing them into Christian schools and boarding schools with the pretext, like Scott Hennin and Senator Hovind are, yeah, so concerned about, that natives are too savage to care for their own children. Mm-hmm. And that the children are in danger, so they need to go and take them away. And what do they do with Native children when they take them away? They give them to white people so that white people can sexually molest them, physically abuse them, cut off their hair, take away their religion, make them stop speaking their languages, and murder them.
Yes.
And bury them on their school grounds. Haven't we littered this country mm-hmm. with enough dead bodies of indigenous children? Yeah. Isn't it been enough, Scott Hennen? Why do you want to continue that legacy of your clancestors to murder indigenous people? There was just a new baby that was born mm-hmm. at camp. Amy Goodman reported about this. And the women that help, you know, the midwives that help to birth the children at the Sacred Stone Camp and that are doing women's health, mm-hmm. women's reproductive health there, talked about the forced sterilization yeah. of indigenous women that occurred in this country. That was a form of genocide, and it continues to be a form of genocide to try to control the reproductive rights, especially of indigenous women, of women of color in this country. This is exactly what these maniacs like Hennen and apparently Hoven and the lieutenant governor and the governor and the Morton County Sheriff's Department and all of those law enforcement officials that are out there pushing these ideas that these Indian people are savage and that they're dangerous and they've got bombs, and they're pushing for the redneck and the racist mm-hmm. among us, just like Trump. Yeah. He's dog whistling to the crazies out there to go ahead and arm themselves and shoot one of these Native Americans.
Exactly. That's very scary.
And the blood of any person that is harmed will be on the heads, not just of the law enforcement, the Keystone cops in Morton County and the state of North Dakota who are allowing this to go forward, but also on the hands of people like the Rush Limbaugh wannabe, mm-hmm. Mr. Scott Hennen, Chris Berg, and others of his ilk
exactly.
in the media. I want to end this program by telling folks that in Native News Online, they talked about all of these trumped up stories about the cattle, and they said, many water protectors are reminded of the story of Conquering Bear, a Lakota chief who was killed while trying to make peace over the death of a white man's cow in his territory in 1854. Conquering Bear attempted to negotiate a reconciliation with the U.S. Army, state's army, and the cow's owner. Talks broke down, and he was shot in the back and killed by the army. His death led to the first Great Sioux War. We have a declared war against indigenous people in North Dakota and a plan of genocide by its authorities that must be stopped by the people that have a conscience, that care in this state. So thank you very much for listening to this important program about the genocidal plans of North Dakota against its indigenous people on a Mexican crossing lines. Miniwichoni, water is life.
Across the reservation, yeah, yeah.